I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, Scott Pacheco, and Steve Robbins, Lurch, Early and Brewer. Jeff Morris, Nathaniel Jacobson, and Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting. We've got a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Mark, will you please give us the rundown?
Yes, today we have Mary Davis Gangana, CEO and President of DTS Worldwide Transportation, Robert Might, President and CEO of Innovative Management Concepts, Michael O'Neill, Founder and CEO of GetWell Network, and Ian Schuler, CEO of Development Seed.
Well, let's get to know our first guest, Mary Davis Gangana, CEO and President of DTS Worldwide Transportation. Mary, what is DTS Worldwide Transportation?
We are a transportation service located in Spencerville, Maryland, providing transportation.
How large or how small is the organization?
We have 78 employees, 43 vehicles.
All right. Where are you from originally?
I am from Lordstown, Ohio.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I'm one of seven.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I am the sixth child.
And tell us, was this like a fancy, dancy neighborhood that you grew up in?
No. We actually, Lordstown is a small 5x5 town in Ohio.
And you grew up, what kind of house did you grow up in?
We're one of seven kids, and we grew up in a trailer in Lordstown, Ohio.
And sounds, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned one of your siblings had some medical issues as a kid.
Yes.
How'd that affect you, and what was the medical issue?
My older brother had cerebral palsy. So the summers we had spent taking care of him.
And how do you think that affected you? What did that teach you? What did you learn from that?
It taught me responsibility. It taught me caring for my brothers and sisters.
Mark, what question do you out there?
So, Mary, give friends growing up, what was it about your best friend that made them your best friend? What was their characteristic and their attitude?
So my best friends were my sisters. Being so close and having so many children in the family, they were my inspiration and they were my best friends.
Tim?
You mentioned when we talked earlier that you had really busted your butt to change your situation. What motivated you to do that? How did you keep going?
So being poor motivated me to want more for myself and my siblings. That is what had me keep going.
Scott?
And you also mentioned that you pick tomatoes and clean houses. And how did that contribute to your sense of responsibility to your family?
Sure. So providing for the family, all of us, getting out at a young age, working at the farm, and you just had to learn to take care of each other and provide.
Stephen?
Yeah, Mary, it sounded like you had a relatively rough upbringing, but also positive experiences. Did you, you mentioned that you also had worked at McDonald's and that there were leadership individuals there that really helped you along the way. Did you end up going to college?
Right. So working at McDonald's, it did teach me not just leadership, but it taught me how to work well with others. I did go to college for 6 months. But I learned most of my education from being a shift manager at McDonald's.
And how does that experience relate to what you're doing today?
So what I do now and how I carry that into my business is my employees, we all work similar like a family. I care about each one of them. They care about us, and we all motivate each other to be better people and to be the best that we
can
be.
Steve asked you earlier, and it's interesting, you mentioned that you really got your college education working at McDonald's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, when I was at McDonald's, they taught me, numbers. I was able to see what the figures were for each day. It taught me how to, I was self-educated.
Mm-hmm.
So working as a team and mm-hmm. providing.
You also mentioned that Steve actually mentioned asked you earlier about how you gave back. How do you give back?
So I promised myself years ago that when I was able to provide for not just my family but all the employees, that I was able to give back to those who helped. I do work for I do work with charitable foundations, and I give back to my employees.
Mm-hmm. So you actually mentioned earlier that you make sure you take care of your employees first, and that you tend to pay them more than what's competitive. Why do you do that?
Because I like to see them succeed. Their success is going to be mine. Part of me starting a company was because I want to see things grow, and I like to see them provide for their family.
Read the newspapers. I thought the game was make as much money as you possibly can, but it seems to me that you've got a different priority there, which is, really supporting the community. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Earlier when we were talking, you mentioned one of the reasons, and I think Tim brought it out, that you wanted to be successful was that you could make the family successful or something like that. What was that all
about? Yeah, so being one of seven kids, I want to succeed to help them as well, just like my employees. But whatever I do, I always give back to them. I want my family to succeed. I want my family to be happy. Mm-hmm. They're my priority.
Jeff?
What is it about your upbringing that led you to form a transportation company?
So being as poor as we were, one day when I saw a limousine, it was something that you would think that only rich people would be in, or famous people. And I looked at it and I wanted to be in it. So then I thought it was just a thing that I would never be able to have, but mm-hmm. now I have plenty of them.
Mm-hmm. When you worked at that McDonald's, what did you do different than all the other kids?
So when I worked at McDonald's, I took that very serious. I went in every day giving my 150%. I wanted to learn as much as I could. That was my education. So when I went in there, I took charge. I looked at the owners, Sam and Al Cavelli, and I wanted to be them. Mm-hmm. I took every opportunity to learn every position, from the fry cook to, the cleaning crew.
You took a real serious. Scott, what are you thinking?
It sounds like you have a lot of purpose in your leadership style. Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it? And I'm definitely getting the sense that you're not the lady behind the glass CEO type. Has that been an unintentional approach?
No.
Well, as far as being relatable to your employees,
not being the
money grubbing CEO, stereotypical CEO.
It was from the day one. I never wanted to be the CEO that was put in the corner and hidden from everyone. I wanted everyone to be part of this company mm-hmm. and build it with me.
Jeffrey?
I knew.
Mm-hmm. Jeff?
So given what you said, what is about being six of the seven children form your business outlook today?
So I think it started me when I have that many brothers and sisters. I wanted this company to be a family ran company, but not that mom and pop shop. I still wanted to have that. I care about every employee. I care about their children. I nurture them like I was nurtured by my brothers and sisters. They took care of me, and now it's time for me to give back to them.
Stephen, what are you thinking?
I mean, Mary, going back to your childhood, mm-hmm. While you certainly had to work and make money and do everything that you were talking about, didn't you also have some very positive aspects to your childhood? Weren't you involved in school and a zillion different activities that really made you the person that you are today? Can
sure.
you tell us about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the activities, I was in track, I was in cross country, I was a cheerleader. Those all helped me form the team feeling. I took charge in those fields, like
so
when
you're
I went
really
to state.
The leader.
I was, because I mm-hmm.
yeah, she
I
took charge
that.
Of McDonald's yes. as well as everything she got involved with. Mark,
so what are you most proud about your employees?
What I'm most proud about is that they have the same belief that I do. We all have the make it happen attitude. We all will work together, but whatever it takes to get something done, we will do. Mm-hmm. As a team.
Tim, what are you thinking?
So you're a self-taught CEO, yes. and I'm curious what some of the hardest lessons have been for you to learn.
I think the hardest lesson, one of them, is like was mentioned earlier, I could probably make more money doing other things, doing, you know, paying employees less, but some of it is I have to give my money because of the time that I'm only allowed to spend. I do have two children. I'm a single parent. So it's hard for me to stay long hours. So mm-hmm. a lot of employees help me.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the competition out there.
Mm-hmm.
Being in this industry, yeah. I had to find out what other companies were
exactly.
doing.
Mary, what is the website address for DTS Worldwide Transportation?
DTStransportation.com.
We've been speaking with Mary Davis Gangana, CEO and President of DTS Worldwide Transportation here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this break. Nice interview. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Robert Might, President and CEO of Innovative Management Concepts. Robert, what is Innovative Management Concepts? What are you guys doing?
We are providing information technology services primarily to the federal government.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
Ohio.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister, a younger sister, and a younger brother. So there are four of us.
So you're the second of four. And how many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Six different. Two elementary, four high schools.
Uh-huh. What do you think the effect of that was?
I enjoyed the moving. It was a tremendous asset to me. I learned to really enjoy meeting new people, and I never really regretted
How's that help you in business?
It makes it very easy for me to get out and meet people, and of course, anytime you're trying to drum up business, that's mm-hmm. important.
And it also sounds like going to six schools that you had to navigate a lot of change. How did that help your approach to running your business now?
Well, I've always enjoyed the change, and therefore, I'm able to navigate a movement very, very quickly. When something happens and you lose a contract, you got an opportunity, you jump on it, very, very easy.
But when you said when you were growing up, you moved around a lot. And when we spoke earlier, you also said that you had basically total freedom from your parents.
Oh, yeah. My parents never, ever said no. They used to work very hard. They gave us a good example. And then they let us make our own decisions. And by moving around, we got to really experience a lot.
So let me ask you that. With the moving around, with somewhat of a lack of continuity because you were constantly moving around and your total freedom, how does this relate to how you run your business?
Well, the total freedom is the most important because I give that to my employees. If I have to micromanage somebody, I don't hire them. I let them go pretty quickly because I learned and I grew up never being micromanaged, and I don't have the time for it, and the people aren't very productive when you do that.
Jeff?
Robert, you spent 20 years in the Air Force. What is it about your father's service that would have led you into that career?
It was his work ethic, and he was very patriotic. He had some really interesting things when he got sent to Vietnam at 47 and flew 360 combat missions. I asked him how he felt, and he says, "That's what they paid me to do. Why wouldn't I go?"
Mm-hmm. Tim?
You know, when we were talking earlier, your positivity just came across so strongly. And I'm curious, though, because you ran into some health problems when you were in your 20s.
Oh, I had something called transverse myelitis. I ended up at Balboa Naval Hospital, paralyzed in the intensive care unit. And I was there for a while. They told me I might walk, I might not walk, and I was fortunate. I was very healthy at that age, was running quite a few miles a day, and I recovered, and I was never really scared during that time, and I think that was just a result of having grown up in a very positive environment.
Mm-hmm. Also, you mentioned at one point in time you were divorced, and we're wondering what did you learn from that divorce?
You can't be bitter. It took a little while. It wasn't instant, but I think when you finally settle down, realize that it's better for everybody to let it go and get on with your life.
So you know about forgiveness, huh?
You have to.
Uh-huh. Mark?
What brought you comfort as a child, and is that the same kind of thing that brings you comfort today?
My parents, we lived out on a bayou in Florida for 5 years where the closest friends were a mile and a half, 2 miles away. Had two sets of friends. My parents worked hard. They played hard. They were always there for us, but they always let us do what we wanted. And the whole family's always comfortable. My mother's still alive, and my younger sister's basically her caregiver, even though she's in assisted living. She's there every day helping her.
I have a question about this, being able to do whatever you want. I'm intrigued by this total freedom, especially as a young child, and how that has impacted your life. Did you ever get in trouble?
Oh, no. I got to watch my sister get in trouble. And when she got in trouble, well, the three of us, all of us, learned quite quickly what not to
do. Or did she just cover for you?
No. We just watched, and we just didn't do what she did. They got in trouble, and it worked really well.
Jeffrey?
After leaving the Air Force, you became a full-time professor. That normally two careers would be enough for everybody, but you've chosen a third. You've moved into business. Why is that?
Well, I taught at eight universities as an adjunct and a full-time professor, finally at George Mason. And I loved the teaching, but once I got to do research full-time, or probably half-time, I guess is what you'd call it, I found out I liked the research better, and I ended up getting a woman at DARPA that said, I need you to do this research, and you got to do it in 6 months. We couldn't sign the contract. So I had this company I had started for some innovative management things that was sitting there dormant, and so I decided to move that contract, and 2 weeks later we had a contract and slowly grabbed another one and then another one and opened the doors, and it was a kind of an evolution.
Scott, what do you think?
I'm fascinated as well, like Steve was, about the total freedom, but you also had structure. Being a military brat, you had a lot of change, you had health limitations, but you also had a strong work ethic. I think you hear of people having one or the other. How were you able to manage all of the different approaches and experiences that were being thrown at you?
Well, there really was no management. I think the environment I grew up in, it was just natural. I think the work ethic, just you see somebody working like your mom and your dad, and they played hard too. I want to emphasize that. It wasn't just hard. And they weren't disciplinarians. They gave advice. They would say, this would be a good idea, this might be a good idea, but you get to make the decision. And that's you just naturally, it really helps you when you grow up in an environment like
Mark?
That.
Would your three siblings recognize you, knowing how they knew you as a kid?
I feel so. We're all still very close. We get together down at a lake in Georgia quite often. We have reunions, and we see each other. We talk a lot. So, yeah.
Coming from a military background, I'm curious as to where you are today in your IT business. You mentioned that you do predominantly government contracts. Do you do any work for the private sector? And if you do, how do you distinguish between, say, your government contracts work and your private sector work?
It's not difficult. We do some software development for one firm, and we'll occasionally pick up some support work or help desk, but a very minor part. And it's really an accounting issue is all it is.
Do you think it's your background in being a military brat?
Oh, yeah.
Your father, and then you.
When I couldn't fly, the Air Force said your left eye's bad. I went into research and development, and I learned all about government contracts. The first contract specialist called me in our office after about 3 months, says, "You're going to go to jail, Bob, but I'm going to keep you out of jail today. But don't you ever do that again." And so I started learning about government contracts from a contract administrator's perspective.
Robert, thinking back to the example of your parents, what other role models did you have, and what did they teach you when you were coming up?
Well, as a youngster, I didn't have a lot of role models other than my parents, but when I got into college, I had a professor that let me go to graduate school. I probably didn't deserve to, but he let me go, and that made a big difference, and I went on and got three different graduate degrees, and I went to his 90th birthday last year. He's a tremendous man, so just moving around a lot. Some of my dad's friends that were pilots, I got to know them later in life, and they became good friends of mine, even though we were a generation apart.
So you stayed close to a number of people throughout your whole life.
A few people, yes. The ones that I've stayed close to, I've stayed very close to.
How does that affect your building the team?
I'm very close to my people. As a single parent, I knew I had to leave the office a lot of times and just drop stuff. And I tell every one of my employees, if you've got a family issue, any problem, sickness, anything, leave. Go take care of it.
You can depend on your people, don't you?
Oh, I don't like to micromanage. Mm-hmm. It's too much work.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott?
And what do you hope to? What do you hope that your kids pick up from you? What would be one or two things that you really hope to take forward?
That you really have to give your own children freedom to make their decisions when they're young. They make little mistakes when they're young, and they make a lot fewer big mistakes when they're older if they've already learned how to make good decisions.
Wow. What's the website address of Innovative Management Concepts, Robert?
IMCVA.com.
Let me have that one more time.
IMCVA.com.
We've been speaking with Robert Might, who is the president and CEO of Innovative Management Concepts here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Oh, nice interview.
Well done. And here's today's BRP safety tips. Riding outdoor recreational vehicles can be fun. These safety tips can help make your outdoor experience safe and enjoyable. Enroll in a motorcycle, ATV, snowmobile, or water safety course. Depending on the vehicle, always wear protective gear. Helmets, life jackets, goggles, long sleeve shirts and pants, and gloves will help keep you incident free. Always stick to the correct and legal number of people on your outdoor machine. And now a word from BRP.
It's time for the Yellow Tag sales event at your local BRP dealer, where you can save big on new Can-Am off-road vehicles. Can-Am vehicles were made to perform and make the most out of any challenge. And right now, quality costs less, because you can save up to $2,000 on select Can-Am vehicles. Just stop by your local BRP dealer right now before the Yellow Tag sales event is gone. Offer ends September 30th, 2018. Certain conditions may apply. See dealer for details.
Attention investors, respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market, as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
6723.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Michael O'Neill, founder and CEO of Get Well Network. Michael, what is Get Well Network?
Get Well Network is a healthcare technology company that works with large healthcare providers across the U.S. and Middle East to help patients be more active in their healthcare journey.
How large or how small is this organization?
We have about 300 purple teammates, as we call them, and about 600
people.
Providers.
And how did you get a job with this company?
Yeah, I actually started the company about 17 years ago.
You started the business. Interesting. Scott.
Michael, where did you grow up and how many siblings did you have?
I grew up in Newburgh, New York, which is in the Hudson Valley, and I'm the middle of five kids over about a 6.5 year period.
And how did being right in the middle impact the way that you developed your leadership style?
You know, when you're a middle child, you have both older brothers showing you the ropes, and you have a little brother and sister who you're trying to show the ropes to. And so it kind of gives you a pretty well-rounded perspective around how to lead and that kind of craft.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
Michael, I understand you had a medical crisis in your 20s. How did that change your outlook?
You know, I was in the middle of grad school, actually. I thought I was going to graduate with a JD MBA and come out and go back into marketing, whereas where I came from. And I had a personal cancer experience, spent a lot of time in surgery and chemotherapy, and it really shaped what I do today.
How did it shape what you're doing today? What are you talking about?
It's going to sound a little bit crazy, but I was sitting in a hospital bed for 11 days at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, staring at a 15-year-old television with a couple staticky channels on it, trying to figure out what the heck this cancer diagnosis was. And it really woke me up to an idea around how we can use technology to empower patients to be more actively involved in their own care journey.
So you understood the demand, you understood the need because you experienced it personally. How young were you, 8 to 14, when you began to see the market? When you began to see opportunity.
Yeah, interesting. You know, as a kid, it was more around just being enamored. Both my parents were entrepreneurs, so it was more around thinking about doing something that could impact the world. Had no idea what that would be.
What do you mean thinking about how you could impact the world? How young were you when you were thinking this stuff?
You know, my dad was a bit over the top. He'd come home from work every day talking about how he had changed the world through his leadership management consulting
firm. How young were you when this was going on?
How old was I?
How young were you when your father was talking to you this way?
We were young. From the age of 5, 6, 7 years old, this is kind of the...
And what would he talk to you about?
He would just give us this this hubris or this confidence, probably beyond his abilities or ours, that we were on this earth to do something.
And how do you think that affected you?
It was almost like a... expected to lead, you know, just a self-confidence.
Excuse me? Let me have that again?
We just always were, we just grew up thinking that we should be in leadership roles.
Steven?
And a comfort there.
Well, Michael, it sounds like you were some overachiever. Tell me, well, let's go back to your high school years. What kind of things did you do in school that molded you to the person that you are today?
So we grew up playing a lot of sports. It was a big sports community, so played a lot of basketball. Certainly wasn't the best player on the team. Couldn't jump the highest, but...
Well, let me guess. You were the captain of the team?
So I was the captain. Again, less about the ability, probably more about the coach seeing an opportunity to see someone who kind of rallies people around a cause. And
does
so
that
people,
help you today?
It really does. You know, this is very purpose-driven work. Healthcare is a very hard industry, so you got to really want to get after it for a long time to make an impact.
Thinking about some of those difficulties, when do you find yourself doubting yourself?
Being a private equity or venture capital-backed business and being in healthcare, there are like 40 times a day that we get incredibly humbled by our owners, by our shareholders, by our customers, by our patients we're trying to serve. So, man, there's more than enough opportunity to be questioning, and you got to pick yourself up and understand that you're at it for a purpose and continue to get after it.
So with the Olympics starting today, Olympic athletes will tell you it's as much about attitude and character as it is their athletic ability. And you mentioned that you're necessarily not the best person on the team. If you had to pick an Olympic sport, what would that be and why?
So I'm racking my brain to think about what appears to be the least athletic need in Olympics. So I'd probably be a curler because I could actually sit around my brothers, have a few beers, and throw some ice discs across the ice. That's probably be my best shot.
Scott, what are you thinking?
I think that you were, it sounds like you were always destined to be a founder of a company or a CEO. But when you got cancer in your late 20s, how did that kind of shape the direction where you went? I think you mentioned earlier it gave you ideas, but personally, and how you relate to people, how did it change you?
Yeah, I guess really bluntly, it simply gave me a life focus to just make it better for the next person up. And from a business standpoint,
give me that again. What was that?
When you get into a cancer experience, it's pretty amazing. You watch how much it impacts people around you, and for some reason, you get at peace with it quicker than the rest of the folks around you. And so, when you come to grips with this whole thing, you just want to make it better for the next person up. And so, it gave me a focus pretty early on in my cancer journey that said, "That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life."
And how does your business do that?
So my business actually helps to educate, inform, activate patients around their conditions in real time. So instead of getting chewed up by the healthcare system, we kind of put the patient in control by giving them better information at their fingertips.
And where did the money come from to start this business?
A bunch of really trusted friends and families kicking in a dollar or two here and there.
How much money have you raised to date?
We've raised, over $150, $200 million.
Excuse me? You've raised $150 to $200 million. You've raised that. These are people that are trusting you with their money.
Yeah, it kind of goes in waves. It starts with some friends and family and some fools, myself included, and then progresses from there as things
go. So when things start going wrong, I mean, the bottom line is you got to keep things quiet if things start going wrong. I mean, I read this in the newspapers and litigation and problems all the time. I mean, is that the way you run your business?
You know, we are an embarrassingly transparent crew. It's how I live my life. It's how I am with my brothers and sisters, my parents, my shareholders, my investors, my teammates. And so we kind of laid it all out there. We actually feel like that's what the world needs, that's what our company needs, and it's actually served us quite well.
I just needed you to tell me that. I wasn't sure. I needed to find out. Who's got the next question?
Hey, Michael, after raising what sounds like a tremendous amount of money and huge efforts, how'd you make your first buck?
So when I was in grad school, I did student research with a bunch of hospital CEOs in the area. And one of them, after the research came back, said, "Hey, we'd love to help you make this vision a reality through the research." And so I said, "Well, it'd be great if you sign this 3-year contract." I had no software, then it would really be helpful. And this guy actually did. And so he became a 3-time customer over a 12-year period, and that's how we actually took that contract and went and go raise money off this first contract.
So your nature is to see an opportunity and to keep on building on that opportunity and building on that opportunity and building on that opportunity. You're not one to jump from thing to thing, are you?
No, you know, early in my career, prior to going to grad school, I jumped around 3 or 4 different jobs. And, man, you know, once we were woken up to kind of the right purpose in life to go have impact, I have not woken up a single day feeling like I was working, and I haven't had a single chance.
Give me that thing. You woken up to what? Give me that again.
Just this notion of waking up, not thinking about doing anything else but the task at hand has been present for 17-plus years now. It's been a
very
powerful way.
And how'd you get that focus?
When you're laying in a bed at 28, I just got engaged, and they're telling you this chemo has a 50-50 shot of working, it pretty much puts a centering on what you want to do.
You had just been engaged and you found this out?
Yeah, I was engaged for 3 months to a little 104-pound Armenian ball of fire who's my wife today. And so kind of have put her through
your
a couple
wife
early
stuck,
tests.
Your wife stuck with you through this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know about loyalty and building long-term relationships, don't you, through the course of time. Mark?
I'm very blessed.
So you've been through a lot of different experiences and learned a lot of things. If you're going to give a graduation speech to high school students now, what are the main themes of that?
Yeah, I really think it's, for me, my life, I've just been so grateful to be around people who have taught me authenticity, positivity, and gratitude. And those things for me in my life have been incredibly powerful, both in good times and in bad, to be honest with you. And that's really what I would hope I can impart a little bit of experience sharing to those young kids.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why you feel you were blessed. You had a terrible situation occur, and, you know, give me that again.
I guess through these incredibly poignant human times, like, you find such gratefulness that you have a single day, and it becomes pretty easy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
Who do you go to for advice?
My brothers and sister are my best friends in the world. We literally grew up. It was honestly like a pack of wolves. We did everything together. The neighborhood kids couldn't stand me. Wouldn't play on different teams. It was always us versus them. It was that kind of thing growing up. So they're my best friends in the world. We talk 4 or 5 times a week, and I get a lot of advice from them.
Hey, we're giving you bad advice.
Here we go. Jeffrey?
Yes, you wanted to change the world, and a lot of folks from Georgetown Law do that for public service. But instead, you chose to be an entrepreneur on this healthcare venture. Why is that?
You know, I will tell you one thing about, you know, Georgetown. I would hate for you guys to have my law school transcript in front of you right now. So I barely got through, but I would tell you the community and the work taught me to think about things from 5 different angles. And I knew from the very beginning I didn't belong in the practice of law. I belonged actually learning how to think well and then figuring out what the purpose was in my life. And I happened to, in some cases, again, get lucky by getting sick to really kind of put a focus and focal point on where I wanted to spend my time.
Wow. Oof. What's the website address of Get Well Network?
It's getwellnetwork.com.
Let me have that one more time.
It's getwellnetwork.com.
We're speaking with Michael O'Neill, founder and CEO of Get Well Network, here on Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, Scott Pacheco, and Steve Robbins, Alert Early and Brewer, Jeff Morris, Nathaniel Jacobson, Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. Want help building your business with help from the show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Mitchell Cho, who's the president of FedWriters. Mitchell, what is FedWriters? What are you guys doing?
FedWriters is a communication and research and analysis company.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is this organization?
We have 53 employees.
53 employees. And how'd you get a job with this company?
I started the company.
You started the company. All right. And how old were you when you started the company?
36.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from Fairfax, Virginia.
Uh-huh. How about your family?
My family's from Korea. My parents immigrated in the 70s.
Your parents immigrated from the Korea. All right. Sharon, what are you thinking? What do you want to know?
Mitchell, what was your dad doing in Korea?
He was an accountant. He went to a very prominent school in Korea.
And your mom?
She was a travel agent.
And then when they arrived here and settled here in the U.S., what did your dad do?
My dad worked at 7-Eleven, and my mom was pregnant at the time.
So your dad had to get a job at 7-Eleven because your mom was pregnant, even though he was an accountant in Korea, huh?
Yeah.
Sharon, what else you got there?
So if thinking back when you were really young, how did this influence you?
My parents had it pretty tough, not speaking perfect English, and my dad actually had to kind of go door to door to all these businesses to drop off his resume and apply for jobs.
And were you aware of that at this point in time?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
How do you know this is true?
Stories that my parents have told me.
And how's it make you feel, and how's it affecting you?
It makes me feel really appreciative of what they kind of went through to give me the life that I had.
Chris?
Yeah, Mitchell, tell us about any adult role model you may have had in ages 8 to 14.
I had a Taekwondo instructor that I really looked up to.
And why was it that you looked up to this particular Taekwondo instructor?
He was, he had a strong personality, and you know, I thought he had a lot of integrity, and you know, he taught me a lot of skills.
You'd mentioned in the green room that he had taught you about being peaceful, and yet Taekwondo is a, you know, it's a martial art, it's a fighting sport. Talk to us about that kind of dichotomy between the two things.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that you know, it is a peaceful sport, and it's a lot about you know, defense as opposed to offense, and kind of finding harmony and balance within your life.
How do you think that finding harmony theme affects you now in your business life?
Yeah, I really try to avoid a drama and kind of make sure that people are peaceful in the work that they're doing, and you know, everything's operating kind of smoothly.
Mm-hmm. John?
Mitchell, how old were you when you started making money?
My first job was when I was about 16 years old. I worked at a pet store.
Mm-hmm. All right. What did you do there?
My main job was to take care of the fish in the aquariums. I was really good at that.
And what were you doing different from your other coworkers?
I think I really was passionate about taking care of the aquariums and watching you know, the fish thrive. Rather than just surviving.
And then how does that translate to your business today?
I kind of really feel the same way about the business, is that, you know, you have to really take care of it, take care of your people, take care of everything, and then it will thrive.
Mm-hmm. You're taking care of the fish, you said, and you're 16 years old. What did you do with all this money you were making?
Well, it wasn't a lot of money, but I did buy my mom a CD that she wanted.
What do you mean you were buying your mom a CD? I thought you would take the money and go spend it on stuff you wanted.
Yeah, well, I guess it was more to, you know, show my appreciation for the stuff that, you know, my parents did.
So did it make you feel good that you were doing something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely makes me feel good, too. To give.
What's that have to do with building a business, that kind of stuff?
Well, I really feel like, you know, if you take care of your people, then they'll take care of you.
So do you have the nicest car in the parking lot?
No, definitely not.
But how come you're the boss?
Well, I don't consider myself too flashy, but I definitely like to give where I can and make sure my employees are taken care of first.
Well, wait, but it's not a matter of flat, but shouldn't your car be the fancy? I mean, shouldn't you enjoy all the fancy things in life?
I don't consider myself to be that flashy, so, you know, I'd rather have employees that are happy rather than me personally having material things.
Why?
Because, you know, I guess the main point is I want the company to thrive. And that's the best way to do it.
What's the best way to do it?
To take care of your people.
I thought it's to get more customers.
Yeah, well, in order to do that, you have to take care of your people, and they will get you the customers.
Oh, I see. So the formula that you've got is if you take care of your people, the customers will come.
Exactly.
I see. Now I see what you're talking about.
Who was the one that was taking care of you when you were younger?
Definitely my parents.
What was your mom's role in that?
My mom was the primary, you know, caretaker, if you will, and my dad mm-hmm. was a provider. Mm-hmm.
So are you like your mom in that respect?
I think so. Well, I do have a daughter, and my wife is the primary caregiver of our daughter, but I think I'm
a good. What's the similarity between being a CEO and being a dad?
Well, it's the same thing. You know, you take care of your people, take care of your child, and you know, hopefully she'll take care of.
But I thought in business, if somebody's not doing their job, you just fire them. You can't do that with your kid. Isn't that the dissimilar? I mean, how do you feel about your the people the way you feel about your daughter?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like to give people chances, second chances if possible. Mm-hmm. And
what's the website address of this organization?
It's FedWriters.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FedWriters.com.
We've been speaking with Mitchell Cho, president of FedWriters, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Les, can you give us a rundown of who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
We have Ben London, co-founder and CEO at Pacify, Stephanie Eberhardt, co-founder and managing partner at Talent Remedy, Father John Adams, president at So Others Might Eat, and Mitchell Cho, President, Fed Writers.
And I'd like to thank my co-host, John Yetman, AEG, Sharon Ricciardi, FEC Bank, Chris Shiplett, Randolph Law, and Les Mullen Vistage for giving me hand instruction to questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational, entertaining show. What is the website address for our host today, FEC Bank?
FVCbank.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FVCbank.com.
All right. And again, I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us today. And do have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Ooh, we nailed it.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.